gospel that we're giving for Saint Communion today from one of the normal gospels for martyrs, Saint John's Gospel. The opening word for our Lord is He commanded His disciples to love one another. Common theme in the Gospel of John, but also in the Synoptic Gospels, when the Lord's asked what's the greatest commandment, well, it's to love God with the entirety of your being and love your neighbor as yourself. John tells us in his epistle that God is love. So this was really the identifying characteristic of followers of Jesus. Jesus said, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. There's something, not just love the way the world uses the word love, or the way we often do, love this meal or love that sunset, but a kind of love that bears wounds, and carries the cross. Wounded by love, as we're reading Song of Solomon. And this love is not what characterizes the world that we live in, but it's what we're called in the life of the church to learn. We don't just instantly become this way. It would be nice if we did, but we learn how to be obedient to this command to love one another. And as we're told by St. John in his epistle, this love is given to us so that we can give it to others. We love because God first loved us. We can't give to others what we don't have. And so in order to fulfill this command that our Lord is emphatic about here and in many different places, to love one another, when we find ourselves unable to do it, we find ourselves, St. Peter says, love covers a multitude of sins, but we find ourselves exposing other people's sins. That means we're not loving them. Love is patient and kind, or impatient and unkind. Well, we're not loving them. When we find ourselves not exhibiting, expressing this kind of love that is characteristic of our God, then we have to not redouble our efforts. We have to turn to God and say, Lord, I haven't yet received your love. I haven't yet let myself experience your love. The type of love that St. Paul talked about in today's epistle reading, the love of God is such that absolutely nothing in this created realm can separate us from His love. And he goes through this long list of really horrifying things. Pestilences and wars, famines, persecutions, all different kinds of things. Even death, he says. Even death can't separate us from the love of God, because when Christ came, He came to die with us, to be with us, even in Hades. If anything can separate us from the love of God, it's our own will, it's our own rejection of God. But nothing that can be forced on us. The martyrs that we celebrate every Saturday, and whatever martyr Mignon that we remember today, are simply beautiful reminders for us in the life of the church that even taking our lives from us is not enough to separate us from God's love. So to let ourselves experience, not that the world is going to be a kind of comfort zone and easy for us, but no, this long list of horrifying things that seem tragic that St. Paul gives are precisely the things in this world which become the context for us to love. The context for us to bear the cross, to bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. All of the hardships and trials that we face now in this world, which are really many, very deep, are really the occasion for the church to shine bright in the love of God. Because we're called to live a life that can't be separated from love by the things of the world. And the things that happen in this world can't create dissension between husband and wife, or parents and children, between priests and parishioners. None of these things can do that. The only thing that can create this division, this separation, is us siding with the devil. The word devil in theology means to divide. It's the divider. And when we choose division, we reject love. But it's more than just that these trials and tribulations are the occasions in which this love is revealed. This love that God is pouring out into our hearts is revealed. It's also the context in which He cultivates that love in us. He trains us. He teaches us. It's where we have to turn again and again to Him because we fall. And we have to get up and say, Lord, teach me to love by showing me your love, healing the wounds in my heart that prevent me from loving others. And that's really how the epistle reading started. We were told that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him. All of these things that He lists, He doesn't list in this long list of things fabulous jobs and perfect marriages and nice homes and a comfortable lifestyle. He lists a long line of trials and tribulations and hardships in our life. And it's precisely those things that God will cause to work together for our good, meaning the good of our souls, the good of what it is to be a human being. Not the good in the sense of living an easy and comfortable life. That's never promised to us. But for our good in the sense of making us more and more fitting vessels for God to dwell in, more and more properly fulfilling our role as the temple of the living God, His love. So that when that love is poured out into our hearts and inhabits us, it's not blocked or prevented or hindered by our rejection or refusal because we're caught up with the trials and tribulations of the world. So let us strive to fulfill our Lord's command to love one another, particularly in the trying and challenging times that we live in, and to love those that are closest to us in our communities, in the various communities that we inhabit. But let us not strive to love one another by our own strength, because this would be the love of the world. Let us strive to turn to Christ to receive His love, and to know that that love is going to come to us in the midst of the trials and the temptations, the hardships of this life, and that it will even come with wounds. It will be wounded by love because this is what it is to take up our cross and follow Him. Any other way is not the Christian way. We can learn all other kinds of good and positive ways, and we can turn Christianity into kind of some much more pleasant and sanitized religion. But if we've done that, then we've just forsaken the God who truly is love for the devil who truly is the divine. And then finally, let us say that in the remainder of the Gospel for John, the Gospel of John, in the Upper Room Discourse, if we live this type of love, if the church lives this love that is only to be found in God Himself, then Jesus promises us that we will be persecuted. We'll be persecuted for just as He was persecuted. Because it's a threat to people. Love is an exposure. Love is a light that shines into the darkness, and the darkness wants to hide, wants to run. It doesn't want to let be exposed those things that are hiding in that darkness. So we don't need to judge the world. We don't need to condemn the world. We don't need to kind of expose the world with our mouth, with our criticisms, with our evaluations. We simply need to love. And in that love, there will be a light that shines into the world, and it will result in criticism, persecution, because people love darkness rather than light. We just can't be among those who do that. We have to be willing to receive what it is that comes our way, but not forsake the light for the comfort of darkness. By God's grace, let us live the one and only one thing that we're ultimately called to in the human life, to love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.